This is not good. This place is not healthy for living people.
Friends, and welcome to the Activity Continues podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Megan.
And I'm Amy.
We discuss episodes of the Travel Channel's TV show, The Dead Files. And this week, Amy is recapping an episode for you guys. It's season 6, episode 1, called Toys for the Dead.
And this is one that way back when I first started watching the show, and I took notes every time I'd see an episode that I really liked or that I wanted to watch again or something. I made notes of it in my Google Keep. And this was one that really stood out to me just because of the content. Mm-hmm. So I made a note of this. So when I was deciding which one I wanted to do, I looked back at my list and I was like, oh yeah, let's do that
nice.
One. So I think it's going to be cool.
And I have not watched it. So listeners, we will be taking this journey together. We'll be on it. We can, you know, share the experience together.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. And like I said, I think the first time I watched it was over a year ago. I remembered something very important about it, which we'll get to at the end. Mm-hmm. But I didn't remember all the pieces. And for this one, too, I was interested in the people. And so I looked them up and found some interesting things about the people who were called, or the people who called Dead Files in, and about the place, too.
Ooh.
So we'll get to all that.
Oh, and also my friend Amy, I can't remember if she said this in our group chat or just in Snapchat with her, but she knows a psychic who we have been talking about going to, she's also a Reiki master.
Oh,
so we could like talk to her and maybe,
oh my gosh,
be like, how do you become a Reiki master? And she's like, I just did a course on the internet. I'm just kidding. Oh. I'm kidding. I'm sure it's so much more in depth than that.
I used to see ads all the time for how to become one, like in City Pages or something, back of those newspapers. But yeah, that would be super interesting.
Yeah.
I think Amy did text me. I thought maybe it was in our group chat, but I know she's...
I remember okay. But I just couldn't remember if she had said that she was a Reiki master in the group.
Oh, she might not have said that.
Or if she was just in our chat.
Yeah, but she did say that we were going to try and find a place where we could all meet up that was sort of a central location for all of us, and that she would sit down and chat with us. So
because I would super fun. Fucking love that.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun to have her on. If she would, be on as a guest, I don't know how we would do that.
All right.
If we have to go meet somewhere, but we could talk to her for a little on Zoom or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
For sure.
Yeah. We did not do a VIP happy hour this month because we had it planned for Saturday and one of us was sick. Mm-hmm. And so we had rain checked it. So we'll do it. We'll do it as soon as we're all back on our feet.
Tip
Maybe
top.
We'll do two for the month of May instead of because we didn't do in April.
It's gonna be May. Everybody, it's May 1st today. So
I've seen so many TikToks and stuff about that.
It's so
funny.
It's a tradition at this point.
Yeah.
Like it can't be May and not have ramen hair Justin everywhere as far as the eye can see.
Right, right.
I listened, True Crime Obsessed did an episode on their manager. I forget his name. He was trash. He managed them. He managed NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and a bunch of other bands. And he just was, he was trash.
Really?
It starts with an L. I can't remember his name. But yeah, he took advantage of those poor kids.
Oh.
I mean, they were so young when they started. You know, they didn't know
what of course.
The business was like. And he just, he's trash. So, you know who's not trash, though, is Lance Bass. He is so adorable on TikTok.
He is. He really is. I follow him on TikTok, too.
I do, too.
And his partner and their kids.
Yep. Did they get twins or just one?
I think so.
Was
I
it twins?
I thought they got twins. Yeah. I think so.
I just want to be his friend. He'd be the best friend, too. You know he would. You know he'd be best friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember when we were watching the Circle, mm-hmm. and that woman, I can't remember her name now, but she was his...
Lisa. It started with an L.
Lisa. I think it was Lisa.
Yeah.
And
she was his personal assistant. Oh, yep. My God.
And she loved him, so you know he's got to be nice, because...
When your personal assistant likes you...
Exactly.
That's a big thing, because I'm sure they deal with shit upon shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love him so much.
Yeah.
Anyways.
He's a good one.
He's a good egg.
A good egg. Funny. So remember we talked about YouTube last time and how we're trying to beef up. We are just shy of our 1,000.
Yep. We're close, you guys. Yep.
So close. We can taste it. We now
behind.
Have 11.
What?
And one of them's me.
Not one of them's me. I do think it is me now that I think about it. But
okay, so we've got four. So two of them are us. So whoever else, you two out there who subscribed recently, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, it used to tell me. It used to say so-and-so mm-hmm. just subscribed, mm-hmm. but I haven't gotten anything.
That's rude.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
YouTube, get it together. Yeah.
Come on, YouTube. Also, it is a new month, and so we have new promo partners. Whoa. And this week, we are partnering with the Skylark Bell, which is Melissa Oliveri's mm-hmm. podcast.
Award-winning podcast.
Award-winning.
Don't forget
podcast.
That.
Podcast. That's correct. That is correct. And another one called Generally Spooky. Okay, so Generally Spooky is a podcast about Scottish history. So they talk about like the old castles and things like that. Stirling Castle and Braveheart mm-hmm. and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. Well, you know, I love everything Scotland.
Yeah,
so,
who doesn't?
I know, right?
You got married there. I mean.
I did. And by the way, the Skylark Bell, this season of it, Wingspan, season mm-hmm. 2, takes place in Scotland.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So
Scotland, the elusive
I've
dream.
Scotland on the brain. But yeah, so I was listening to this Generally Spooky podcast one night when I was going to sleep. I fell asleep in the middle of it. Not mm-hmm. because it's boring, because I was tired. And I had the coolest dream. I won't go into too much detail because I know people don't like listening to other people's dreams, but I was flying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love dreams.
Yeah. Over the ocean, but up along the coast of Scotland. So I was flying along the bluffs of mm-hmm. Scotland, like just going all along the coastline. And this is the funny part. I was flying on a magical dog bed.
Sure. Makes sense. Total.
So like a magic carpet, but yeah. it was a dog bed. It was one of those fleece dog beds.
Oh, so at least you were warm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was cozy. The size of a skateboard though. So it was really little. Mm. And I was just sitting on it going like this and I could go faster or slower or turn around.
Yeah. Nice.
Super cool.
Nice.
It was such a cool dream and I woke up and I was like, damn. I wanted to stay there.
I know.
It was so
damn, why
cool.
can't I just be a flying dog bed in Scotland for real?
I know. And it did. It felt so real.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I woke up and I was thinking about it, I've been thinking about it. It was probably a week ago. And I've been thinking about it every day since. And I remembered that Q&A that I watched with Amy. I think you mm-hmm. watched it too.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy Allen, that is. Somebody in the audience asked her, so like if I've never been to Paris, I think she said,
mm-hmm.
after I die, can I go to Paris?
Yeah.
And Amy said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And in the most amazing way.
Oh, God.
And yeah. I was like, that's so cool. And that's what I felt this dream was like.
Yeah.
And then I saw that. I'm like, did I really go to Scotland?
Maybe you did. Maybe you astral projected.
It was so cool. But anyway, so is there anything else we need to... Oh, it's Steve DeShavi's birthday today. Today,
Happy
the day we're recording.
Birthday, which is May 1st.
May 1st, not the day that this is coming out.
It's going to be May. May 6th.
This will be out on the 6th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think I have anything else. Should we just get to it?
Let's just dive right in.
Let's just dive right in. We say after chit-chatting for...
For 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Let's really get down to it 45 minutes later.
Let's get started. But I have one more thing I want to tell you.
Let's get down to business.
Welcome to the mysterious world of the Skylark Bell. Our story begins on the outskirts of a small town called Pocket, where Margaret Phaeton, better known as Magpie, must connect a series of unexplained events, psychic visions, and century-old folktales before the mysterious silence hanging over the abandoned farm at Meadow Lane spreads to the entire town. The Skylark Bell is a fiction podcast in serial format, with new chapters every Friday, and bonus episodes that recount real-life paranormal experiences. Find The Skylark Bell on all major platforms and at theskylarkbell.com. I'm Melissa Oliveri. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order. Yeah, so this is season 6, episode 1 on both Discovery Plus and Hulu.
What?
And by the way, I also signed up for the fancy $2 more for no commercials on Discovery Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I will probably be watching it there.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, instead of sometimes flipping over to Hulu.
I know, I signed up for the fancy commercial-free on Discovery Plus, and I was, it's life-changing. I love it.
I do, too. I was getting so annoyed with Hulu today. I was watching a show, I think it's called Better Things, mm-hmm. with Pamela Adlon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching that, and it was just before a commercial break. Greg walked in the room and was talking to me. And I didn't get to the pause in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to pause it and it went into commercial. But I missed like the 20 seconds between when he came down and when it went to commercial. So I tried to rewind it.
No, you can't.
It wouldn't rewind.
No. Nope.
It wouldn't rewind. It made me watch a 2-minute set of commercials to rewind 10 seconds. And then...
Watch it again.
After that... 10 seconds of watching, I had to watch that commercial block again. And I was so fucking mad. I threw the remote across the room and I said, fuck this shit. And I ended up turning on Discovery Plus instead. I watched something else because I was so fucking mad at Hulu.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway. Okay, so here's the setup. The client is Ginny. She called because she's worried about her best friend, Michael. 3 years ago, and this was in 2016, this came out. Michael and his partner, Travis, rescued a former brothel, which was about to be torn down. This is the second,
second brothel
slash bordello I have.
Bordello. Oh, that's right. I had to ask you what that meant because I didn't know.
So they turned it into a museum, and they do history tours there. It's called the Dumas. And it is in Butte, Montana.
Montana. Interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know much at all about Montana, but the visuals they showed during this episode, it looks really pretty.
Oh, I'm sure really it's pretty. Gorgeous because it's got, isn't there mountains in Montana?
I think so.
Yeah.
And lots of almost deserty looking in some ways, but there's greenery. I mean, it really pretty, really pretty.
Nothing country, against Montana. I mean, I just don't know much about it.
Yeah, I don't either. So this is
if you're from Montana, sorry, just, you know, hit us up and tell us what your state's like. We want to know.
That'd be cool.
All right. Sorry, I won't interrupt you. I will, but I'll try not to.
I want you to. So Ginny works there at this Museum at the Dumas. She doesn't feel like it's safe there. There's always been activity, but it's gotten violent recently.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. And almost everyone who works there or visits, so the tourists too,
Even the visitors all have had experience.
Yeah. Wow. They hear footsteps, they see full body apparitions, people are getting touched, pushed. But her major concern is Michael. His demeanor is changing. He gets really uptight and really OCD. And once you get him outside, he's a totally different guy. And she thinks that he's obsessed with the place. So the building was built in 1890, and it ran as a brothel for 92 years before the sheriff. Yeah. The sheriff closed it down in 1982.
I was just going to say, that's got to be well into the 20th century that this thing was a brothel.
82. Yeah. 92 years. So.
Hey, sex work is the oldest profession in the world.
That's right. That's right.
You do you. Wow. That's so long.
I know.
And so recent.
And I think when I was doing a little bit of research on it, I was finding a lot of stuff calling it the Dumas Hotel. So I think it presented itself as a hotel, but I think everybody really knew, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, what it really was. You know?
We're going to go to the hotel.
Yeah.
Something in your eye?
No, okay. So Amy walks in right away and she says, oh boy. And she hears someone say, get her out of here. She senses it's a man who does illegal things here, and she sees prostitutes, her word, all around him. Okay, she says there are quite a few dead people here. They would influence people, changing their behaviors and thought processes, and they might become depressed, anxious, and do things that they wouldn't normally do. So then we're back to Steve. He and Ginny are in the basement, of course.
Of course. It's a
super creepy basement.
They always are.
Yep. It has a really high ceiling, so it's not like one of those, you know,
like squashed down.
Yeah. There's plenty of room, but it's set up for like a bedroom down there. Like
really? Okay.
A room for the
Well, you gotta workers. Make use of the space. I mean,
Yep. And Ginny says she sees shadows zooming past her when she's down there. And Steve does his Steve thing, trying to see if it could be something else, people fucking with her, whatever. But she says it happens when she's down there all by herself. She has come home with bruises and scratches. And Steve says, you called us for Michael, but it sounds like you need help too. So now we're back to Amy. She's in the basement now. And she said the dead here are very capable of interacting with the living. And she says,
ah, there's so much. Oh my God.
Yeah, so she is sensing the landlord or landowner. He wants to keep people out of there. He smothers the shit out of people, she said. She feels like she's being punched in the stomach, and she says, sure as shit, if people are down here, there's going to be problems.
She has such a way with words.
I know. There were so many good sound bites in this episode. I picked out a lot of them, but I had trouble narrowing it down. The landowner doesn't like people around. Amy says that he's a pincher, a hitter, and if he doesn't like someone here, he'll do that to them. And they would see like a dark mist. And she says, this is not good. This place is not healthy for living people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's affecting Michael, so.
Yeah. So Steve's talking to Michael now, and he agrees that he's obsessed. He said he'll plan to be there until like midnight, and then all of a sudden it'll be 5 a.m. So like he loses time.
Ooh, that's never good.
Steve asks him how he feels about the place, and he says it's an important landmark, needs to be saved. He feels it's like a stewardship, and he has an obligation to this building.
Who does that sound like? Johnny.
We've had that before. Yep. He tells Steve about the time he was pushed. He was walking down the hallway. Ginny was right behind him, and he was pushed like in the face. Pushed like and fell backwards.
Usually they're pushed from the back.
Yeah. And he even showed it to Steve. He pushed Steve. Like, Steve didn't even ask him to. He just did it. That was kind of funny. He says he's very attached to the place.
Why don't you just give this place up?
I'm very attached to it. Unexplainably.
Ooh, that's disturbing. Unexplainably attached to it.
Unexplainably attached, yep. So he's very antsy and agitated, and his face looks like he's almost angry, but his words and his voice sounds more like he's scared. It was really weird to watch him.
Like disconnect.
Yeah, it was really strange. So next, Steve talks to Travis. This is Michael's partner. Mm-hmm. They've been together for 8 years and they bought the place 3 years ago. So they would have bought it in 2013.
Yeah.
Travis says Michael's mood swings are really bad. He's getting more OCD, more agitated, and he takes his anger out on Travis.
No.
I know, that made me sad.
Well, that's what we do. I mean, we take our emotions out on those closest to us.
That's exactly what Steve said, too. You always hurt the ones you love.
Steve and I, oh my God, mm-hmm. we're so connected.
Yeah.
BFFs.
Yep. So he asks about things that the customers have heard, and Travis says that they've been pinched, they've got their hair pulled, they get nauseated, some have thrown up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not...
Not pleasant. Mm-mm. Can't ghosts be nice? Like, can't they make people feel like just euphoric? Like,
I think they can, but not these kind of shitbags.
I suppose the people who are left behind or staying behind aren't really staying behind because they're happy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, typically they're staying behind because they have unfinished business or they're upset mm-hmm. or.
Or yeah. I mean, a lot of these ghosts that we've heard of in this show, anyway, are.
Trapped.
Murderers are a piece of shit. You know, it's not all victims that are stuck behind. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's, you know, the reverend
in the Villisca house. They don't want to go where they're meant to be, so.
Yeah. Well, and like the Villisca, the reverend, I can't remember who it was, Chip Coffee, I think it was, mm-hmm. that was saying he's here because he loves reliving this.
Wow, that's sick.
Killing all those people because he still gets off on it.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Even in death, he's still messed up.
Yep. So Travis was in one of the bedrooms. He's explaining this, what happened to him, to Steve. And he was in one of the bedrooms and he felt a warm hand on his shoulder Mm-mm. and then a warm breath right on his neck. He said it was really intimate, almost sensual. And I'm thinking this ghost has no gaydar.
No.
So then we flash to Amy for a second. She says she senses a woman. Mm-hmm. who is very sensual. She's really hands-on, she says. And if she finds someone attractive, she'll do stuff.
Uh-oh.
And then Amy's drawl came out.
Yeah.
And she said, there's a lot of anxiety. It's so cute. I love it when she does that.
Heart attack.
She says she feels super nauseous. Okay, so now Steve is meeting with Ron the Brick Mason.
Oh, Ron.
Oh, good old Ron. Ron has worked in the building. They're in the basement. He says that he's had the sense that he's going to get killed.
I don't like that, Ron.
No. Mm-mm. He says there's something in there telling him to get out. His tools go missing and then reappear. He won't go downstairs by himself anymore. And Steve does the, you don't seem like a guy who scares easily.
Uh-huh. You big guy.
You big guy, tough guy like you. So Amy says another lady is down there who will move things around and open doors. Mm-hmm. And she says she has skin like tree bark. And her arms are all twisted like roots of a tree.
Okay.
I know. I can't wait to see this sketch.
I was just going to say, I bet that's going to be a sketch.
Mm-hmm. So the dead all have certain specific things that they do for the living. And Matt asks her how they treat living people. And she says,
they would be, you know, toys for the dead people.
Oh, that's where the title comes from.
I wrote in my notes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a title.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. So now Steve is off. He's, you know, doing his research in town. And he's meeting with a historian named Ellen Baumler. The building was built by brothers Arthur and Joseph Nadeau. They built it for the purpose of it being a brothel, and they had other properties, brothels, in the area as well. They're very educated, very wealthy. At some point, they had some kind of a disagreement. The brothers split, and Joseph remained to run the brothel until he died in 1925, at the age of 77. So now I go back to Amy. She's talking about the landowner. She says this guy is going to cause some problems. He is the biggest problem here. He's super negative and extremely, disgustingly greedy.
Ooh.
She thinks he might have owned the land and built the building. He's got white hair, pale skin, and there's lots of traffic in here that has benefited him.
Well, yeah, if it's a brothel.
Mm-hmm. So Steve learns that this was a high-end brothel. He was talking to this historian. He said, well, the basement's not very high end. And she said the upper floor was created for the upper class. The main floor was for the middle class, and the basement was for the miners.
Mm-hmm.
That is, men who worked in the
coal miners, not like children. Under 18.
Right.
Got to make that distinction.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ellen explains that the working conditions for those ladies who worked in that basement were probably not great. They charged about 50 cents a customer and probably serviced about 50 men a day.
How many?
50.
50.
50. Per day at 50 cents a pop.
Those poor women.
I know.
It's tough enough for me to service one, and that's not every day.
Yeah.
Ugh.
She said there was lots of violence, lots of addiction. And she mentions the danger of pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
You're having sex that many times a day. Jesus. So Amy goes into the basement. She said there were a lot of drugs and alcohol. These men were dirty and angry. She called them perverted freaks. She sees a lot of people laying down, laying around and laying down. She heard mining, the word mining, and that anyone who rents or buys this place is not on the up and up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure if, you know, you're doing 50 men a day, you've got to be drugged out for it.
Oh, yeah.
Whether willingly or not willingly.
I'm like, what is wrong with this place?
She said, what is wrong with this fucking place? Because she's like saying all that. She's walking around and then she like, she goes like this, like she's feeling something touching her or she's hearing something. And next, Steve goes digging through the archives, and he finds Gertrude Pitcannon.
Ooh,
Pitcannon.
She a genealogist?
No, she is a piece of shit, is what she is. Steve even says so. She was performing illegal abortions in the red light district. So he goes and meets up with, I guess this guy must be a historian.
Is she a piece of shit because of that? Or
no.
Okay, I was going to say because...
No, not that's not why. So he hits up this guy named Chris Fisk, who tells Steve that she very likely performed abortions right at the brothel. If the ladies got pregnant, they couldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a lot.
And that's money lost.
Yep. That's right. Between 1929 and 1939, three women who Gertie performed abortions on died as a result of the procedure.
God.
She was charged three times with manslaughter, but all the times the charges were dropped due to lack of evidence.
This is why we need to have abortions be legal.
I know.
This is why, right here. Because if they're illegal, people are still going to get them done.
Still going to do.
But they're going to be much more dangerous.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm.
So some of these ladies actually chose to keep their babies. But this back alley abortion clinic that she was running, apparently people had babies there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so these women would have their babies. And she would tell them that their babies died, and then she would sell the babies on the black market.
Okay, now I know why she's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And she did this to at least 14 babies, up to 28. I don't know if that's how, I don't know how many women that is, but at least 14 times she did this.
Oh.
All right, so she's a piece of shit.
Yes.
For doing this.
Yes.
Yes, she is, Steve.
So now we're back to Amy. She notes that there are a ton of dead bodies here, mostly men, but there are women. And she even says some of them are kids.
No.
And she says there's a lot of kids here. There's too many for one family. It's almost like a daycare. But they're not being taken care of. They don't have parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she says maybe they were selling these kids. And then she says,
like drug dealers and children sellers and pimps.
And I went, oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, my God. I know, Amy. Oh, my God, indeed.
Right. So Steve then meets with Sheriff Ed Lester about some other deaths that he's been made aware of.
Mm-hmm.
They meet in the Old City Jail. And Ed Lester tells Steve about Eleanor Knott. She was the madam from 1950 to 1955.
Mm-hmm.
Her body was found on the second floor of the brothel. The death certificate said coronary occlusion was the cause of death. And I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. Coronary occlusion is the partial or complete obstruction of blood flow in a coronary artery.
So it's like a heart attack.
Yeah, this condition may cause a heart attack.
Okay.
Yeah. So they think it was suspicious because the woman who found her body, her name is Bonita Farron, she took over as the madam.
Huh.
When Eleanor died. I know. So I searched newspapers and I found an obit for Eleanor, but nothing else. Just it did say that Bonita was the one that found her body. But she was never charged or anything, so it's just a rumor.
Well, yeah, she's a woman. She couldn't do anything like that.
Right.
We're too stupid.
Well, until, I don't know when what the date was on this, but Bonita's husband, John Farron, also died. He fell down a flight of stairs.
Uh-oh.
And I shouted, it was the owl.
Those stairs are tricky, you guys. They're tricky.
Yeah. Well, and the coroner thought the reason he fell was that he was drunk.
Huh.
The death certificate says cerebral hemorrhage, but it also has, like, as a contributing factor, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So,
The devil's liquid.
Yep. So this is now we're at the reveal. So Amy sits down with them. It's Michael, Travis, and Ginny.
Ooh, another threefer.
Yeah, another threefer. Huh. And so she tells them that she heard a male say, get out of here, as soon as she got there. And a woman call out, whore.
Ooh, that's aggressive.
Yeah. They show Steve, and he's like, yep.
That checks out.
Right. Yep, that checks out.
Steve's like, another day at the office.
Yep. She says that she got something about specific drugs, alcohol, opium, marijuana, hash, cocaine. And as she's reading off this list, they show both Ginny and Travis, who turn and look at Michael. And Michael looks at them, and then he looks back at Amy. It was the weirdest.
Did they address it?
It made sense to me later.
Okay.
They didn't address it in the show, no, but it made sense to me when I found out some stuff later.
Oh.
Okay.
Ooh, Amy's got the goods.
Michael explains why he sank all this money into it. He says, I don't know why. I don't know what drew me. And they show Amy, and she's got wide eyes. She's shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her that he fell in love with it when he entered the building for the first time. And she just goes, interesting.
I love it when she does that.
I know.
And she always makes a note, too. She's
Yep. She was interesting. Interesting.
Yep.
And so then she talks about the basement and all the people, the men with their interesting sexual proclivities. She tells how she got punched in the stomach, and Ginny tells him that she was once chased up the stairs.
Ooh, shit.
I feel like, I know I felt like I was chased up the stairs once in my house I grew up in, my very first house I lived in when I was little. And I told somebody that I thought I was being chased by a ghost, and they were like, everybody has done that. Every kid who's ever walked up a flight of stairs has pretended like they're being chased.
Yeah, but pretended and feeling like are two very different things.
I think so, too. I really felt like I was chased, but I didn't. I never had any other experiences in that house, so who knows? Anyway, Amy talks about the children that were down there. They were uncared for. And then she talks about the pimp and drug runner, and she thinks that he sold children. And this is when Steve brings up Gertie and her husband, Gustavus.
Oh.
I don't remember them mentioning her husband before, but apparently she had one. So my guess is that's her husband that Amy sees down there.
Yeah.
Steve talks about the babies that were sold through the abortion clinic and that they are known as Gertie's babies.
Don't call them something cute.
I know that sounds cute, doesn't it? Don't. Gross.
Like she rescued these babies and found them homes. No, don't glorify what she did.
Right.
She ruined lives is what she did. Those poor women going their whole life thinking their baby's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So Amy talks about two women that she met. One is the tree bark lady and how she moves objects around. She can open and close doors. And Ginny tells her about how the brick mason's tools go missing and show up again. The other woman is the sexy Tam girl. She's interested in young men.
The sensual woman?
Yes. And she likes to touch them inappropriately. This is the sketch that she did. So then there's the sketch.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Travis tells the story about her breathing on his neck. And Steve says, do you think she was a prostitute here? And Amy says, yeah. And I think that she really enjoyed her job.
Okay. Good for her.
Yeah. Right? Steve asked if she's a threat, and Amy's like, well, sure, being molested's a problem. I'm like, come on, Steve. Sounds like a problem to me.
Yeah, Steven.
Okay, so Amy talks about the landowner, dominant personality. He was unhappy that she was there. He's very negative. People may see him as an elderly man or as a black fog. Mm-hmm. He goes everywhere, but he really likes the basement. He's very physical. He'll try to smother people. He wants to kill them. And Michael talks about how he was shoved in the face and pushed backwards.
Ooh, yep.
And Amy does that awooga thing with her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So here we go. Amy asks Michael if he feels threatened, and he says yes. And then I took a picture of the look that Amy gave him.
Oh, yep.
Which she gave him this look like. I'll paste that in for those of you who are watching the video. So Steve asks if Amy knows who this was in life. And she said he's the boss. He's very greedy. He's the owner who benefited greatly from the business here. So Steve talks about Joseph Nadeau.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls out the photo. Amy looks at the photo. Then she looks at Michael. Then she looks at the photo again. Then she looks up at Michael. And she just points at him. And he's like, what? And she said, the first time I saw you, when you first came in, I thought you looked familiar. And she slides the photo over to Michael and says, ask him what he thinks about him. Mm-hmm. And if he feels any kind of attachment. And he says, I think I have a duty here to fulfill something. And Amy is just smiling and looking at him like, damn. He tells her how he bought it the first day he set foot in there. And Amy says, because you already owned it.
Oh.
I'm like, chills. Steve goes, what the hell are you talking about? And she tells Michael that he is Joseph Nadeau.
Like reincarnated?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep. What? And Steve goes, wait, he was reincarnated? And Amy says, yes. And Travis kind of looks over like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
And Michael says that Joseph looks like his grandfather.
I felt something, though. I knew it. But I don't want to feel like some deceased person, some spirit, some entity saying, you need to do my bidding.
It's not like you're doing anybody's bidding. This is you.
Mm, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So Steve says this is a case that's going to stick with him.
Yeah, for sure.
And Amy says she's nervous for him. She's in awe. She's speechless.
That doesn't happen often with her.
No, it doesn't. And I think, in fact, there's only been one other episode I've seen that has the reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Steve asks if Michael believes that he is this man. And he said, well, yes. How else could you explain it?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to quote Amy here because I don't think I have my head wrapped around this completely and I don't want to get it wrong. So she said, quote, your soul is not complete because you're continuing a life that you had before. What I think is going on is that sometimes when people die, the soul in its entirety doesn't completely move on. So it'll shatter sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When Joseph died, his soul split. One piece remained here in the form of an old man and the other became you.
Okay. So kind of like Horcruxes in Harry Potter.
I don't know.
We're going to say not. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Exactly like that.
Thank you. Okay, but that makes sense, yeah. So maybe he was so attached to it that he didn't want to leave it. And so when he passed away,
mm-hmm.
his soul split so he could always be attached to it.
Yeah, yeah.
All
very
right.
Well could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we play the should I stay or should I go?
Yep.
Amy says they need to find a Reiki master
mm-hmm. called Jenny.
Who has the ability to collect souls and absorb them into herself, and then she can release them.
Wow.
She needs to collect that soul. Steve asks if she takes Nadeau with her, will mm-hmm. Michael still be reincarnated?
Mm-hmm.
And Amy says, yes. But when he moves on, you may no longer have an interest in this place and can relinquish this fixation.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve says, what about the tree lady and the nympho?
Eloquent, Steve.
Amy said the Reiki master will remove them as well.
Okay.
And Michael says he feels like a weight has been lifted. And Amy says this is going to be quite a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So the follow-up, Michael has yet to contact a Reiki master and the activity continues.
Wonder if he will.
Well, okay, so I did some research.
Scotland's history is ghoulish, ghastly, and at times downright gruesome. Who wouldn't want to hear more about it?
If you're interested in learning more about Scotland's history, legends, and ghost stories, then the Generally Spooky podcast is for you.
My name is Ailey, researcher, storyteller, and believer in ghosts.
And my name is Kieran. I'm chief listener, provider of jokes, and Ailey's husband. And we are the co-hosts of the Generally Spooky podcast.
Join us as we discuss things like the Loch Ness Monster, the Mackenzie Poltergeist, the Battle of Culloden, and so much more.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also find us for free on YouTube and over at our website, generallyspooky.com.
We'll see you there.
See you there.
Well, okay, so I did some research. Okay.
Doesn't sound like it's good research.
It's not. Me. It's not good. So I looked it up. The brothel is, it has a website. And it is now owned by another couple.
Okay.
They posted, the last time they posted in their blog about it was November 13th, 2019, okay. saying that it closed for the season and would reopen in the spring of 2020. But we all know what happened in the spring of 2020. And I'm assuming that it, I assumed that it had did not open after COVID. But they have a section on the website for paranormal stuff, including some videos and waves. These two people who own the house now, or own the brothel now, are paranormal investigators.
Really? I wonder what happened with Michael.
I'll tell ya.
Oh, well, all right.
So,
getting too ahead of myself.
I found an old Facebook page for the place for when Michael and Travis owned it, and I started reading the posts. The last post was from Travis saying this would be his last post because he might be losing the property. He mentions that while finances were always tight, they're even worse now after Michael's passing.
What?
Yep.
How did he die?
Well, it never really said specifically, but it was alluded to. So he died January 14th, 2018. Travis wrote a beautiful post on the museum's page, talking about how much he loved Michael and how much everybody loved Michael. And he was asking for people to donate to a GoFundMe for the funeral because he had no money and he owes all this money. And I went to the GoFundMe and it only raised $615.
Oh my God.
Like shit. So on October of 2018, Travis posted on the Facebook page that they owed over $5,000 in taxes and he didn't have the money. He was trying to raise funds to, quote, keep Michael's dream alive. They were 4 years behind on taxes.
Oh, my God.
So the property was turned over to the Silver Bow County in September of 2018. And somebody on the on that post said, and this person's name was Dumas, said that this was a family. She was part of the family, the Dumas family, and she was supposed to have the option to buy it, but no one told her that it was going in foreclosure, and so it went up for auction and someone else got it.
Oh,
and she
wow.
really wanted to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then another person posted, commented on that post, and he commented twice, once to say that he had a crush on Travis and wanted to date him, which I'm like, knock it off. That's rude.
That's not the right place to do that.
And then a couple posts, a couple comments down later, he posted again to say he's sorry to hear of Michael's passing from a drug overdose. Okay, so the woman that wanted to buy, the woman who's a Dumas and wanted to buy the place, she said she was trying to get a hold of Travis and she couldn't get a hold of him. And she even had the sheriff looking for him, but he was missing. So then I started thinking, oh, my God, Travis went missing. What happened? And I so I looked him up and I found him on Facebook and his last post was from April of this year. So he's still around. Good. He lives in Blackfoot, Idaho now. But all of his Facebook posts are like quizzes, like what national park are you and stuff like that. He could have other posts, but since I'm not friends with him, I don't see them. You know, he posted that he married Michael on March 27th, 2019, but that's a year after Michael died. So I think that he just
like, maybe it was
it
a
too late.
Yeah.
And he posted, I miss you dearly, my one true love. I will continue to hold your hand until the day comes. I'm going to cry. When we are reunited once again, love you forever and a day. So I went to Michael's Facebook page. It's pretty empty. His status says married, so I'm guessing they did get married before he passed. Good. He has some posts about addiction.
Mm, and that's probably why they looked at each other.
Yep. And I saw that he graduated from Montana Tech in 2014 with a degree in addiction counseling.
Good.
So, oh, and on Michael's Facebook page, he had a post that said he one day hopes to own the Dumas.
I mean, if you're suffering from addiction, there is help.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing you can't overcome.
Right. That's true. And you it doesn't feel like it. That.
I know it doesn't. But it's true. And you're a beautiful person, and the world is a beautiful place with you in it.
Yeah.
Never think anything else.
Well, I mean, like, just looking at Michael's Facebook post and Travis's Facebook post with all the people commenting, so many people loved him.
Yes.
And so many people miss him.
And so many people love you. And so many people would miss you if you are battling with addiction.
Yeah.
Or anything, really. Depression, addiction, anything like that.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I did find a 24-hour addiction hotline number.
Oh, good.
It's 888-987-1784.
Okay.
So
we'll put that in the show notes and stuff too.
I mean, you are loved. You are beautiful. You can overcome this, whatever it is. We love you. And everybody loves you. And your family would be devastated if you weren't around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Addiction's a bitch, but you're a tougher bitch.
There you go. Bad bitch.
You're a bad bitch. Oh, that sucks.
I know.
That explains the look, though, that they had during the reveal.
And I wonder, was she sensing any of Michael? Was she picking up on Michael? As much as she was picking up on the sex workers and the people who worked there and stuff?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I hope he's at peace. I really hope he's at peace.
I do too.
And I hope Travis can find happiness.
Yeah. He seemed like a good kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a sad one. It was a good one, though. My God, that reveal was...
Yeah, that's a doozy.
I got chills. Yeah. Literal chills when she pointed at him.
Joining us for another episode of The Activity Continues. If you have a favorite episode you want us to cover, please let us know. You can DM us at any of our socials or email at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and join us next time when
The Activity Continues.
The Activity Continues podcast is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is a part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with The Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with The Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.